Our reading today began, and his father and his mother, marveled at what was said about him. But what was that? And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. Christmas gifts come in all shapes and sizes. No matter the gift, our expectations, though, can vary. One kind of gift that we receive is an utter surprise. You had no idea it was coming. Another kind is that of suspicion. You have some vague idea based on the shape or the size or the sound of the box. And then there is the expected gift. You know it's coming, but you're still surprised when it finally does come. In today's gospel, the young Christ child of 6 weeks old is presented to the Lord and redeemed by the coin and the pair of turtle doves. This most precious treasure the world has ever known comes into the temple. Now there was a man of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This man, Simeon, was waiting for the third sort of gift, the expected one. He knew his sin, and he knew the promise of the Redeemer. He is waiting for this hope to be fulfilled. He longs to see the salvation of his people in the flesh. Simeon had been promised that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ, before he saw this gift revealed. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and sang the Nunc Dimittis. Simeon recognized the infant child in his arms was Christ the Lord. He was the Savior, and not a light dimly shining on the Jews, but the bright morning star for the whole world. His piercing light would reach until the ends of the earth, here to Dire, to Siberia, to Kenya, to the ends of the world, illuminating the hearts of all. Thus his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Despite having already each receiving proclamation about this child, Jesus, from the angel Gabriel, and despite both mother and father having heard the message of the angels repeated to them by the shepherds, now Joseph and Mary, from Simeon, received the good news themselves. Simeon proclaims the angelic message again. This old and feeble man recognizes and praises the little child as the Savior and the light of the world. All else is in darkness, and the little child lights them up. All the world is dying and damned, and then this baby comes, bringing salvation. How could this little man, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born to a poor mother, be the Savior of the world? And yet Simeon's sermon makes that bold claim. The angel before had told Mary that the child was the Son of the Most High, The angel had told Joseph that his name would be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The shepherds repeated this message to the angels. But now, Simeon has even more to say. Not simply he shall save his people from their sin. Simeon says that his light, the light of Christ, is not just for his people, the Jew, but is also for the Gentile. That extra little bit, and a light to lighten the Gentiles, is the word that caused Mary and Joseph to marvel. Why were they so shocked at this word? Actually, they weren't. They saw it coming. They knew the promises. They had heard the prophet Isaiah, speaking of both Jew and Gentile included. Their astonishment, their marveling, is actually a sign of the great faith that they have and their profound understanding. Just like their parents of old, you probably remember Abraham and Sarah. What happened when God revealed to them that the promise would be fulfilled, and then he did fulfill it, the gift of a son, Isaac? They laughed. Both were advanced in age, far past childbearing age. The promise was given to Sarah when she was 90 years old, and she didn't give birth until she was 100. When God announced that they would conceive, both laughed. And then when they gave birth, they laughed again. We've often wondered if this laughter was a sign of doubting. But no. This news was of great joy to the two, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, says both Moses and Paul. Moses laughed in joy at the promise, not of doubt. The person and work of Christ, the gift of the Savior, brings similar response today. For some, Jesus is an utter surprise. They had no idea that they needed a Savior. They are ignorant of their sin, happy with their guilt and shame, and content in their misery. But the joyous blessing of God made man, born to redeem them, comes to them anyway in his unexpected wonder. And they respond with shock and joy. Now for others, the second sort of gift applies. They have some idea. For the law had already done its work. They feel the weight and burdens, and they want relief. They believe that God is good and gracious, and expect that he will provide for them some means of escape from the terror of the law. They know they need saving. And yet, they are surprised at the wonderful way God chose to save them. God saves them by grace alone, through faith alone, by Scripture alone. Redemption, their redemption, is entirely the handiwork of Christ alone, to his glory alone. Some idea, and yet a surprise. And what joy results when the gift is opened. And then for others, which probably applies to you, and it certainly applies to us on Christmas Day, we know not only our sin, but we know the promises of God. We live in the hope of the redemption of Christ. We have received the Holy Scriptures, we've been given faith, and we trust that God will do all the redeeming by his grace and favor. And yet knowing the promise still doesn't quite get it when the promise is revealed. For just like the others, when Christ comes to redeem us, every Christmas day, we're still surprised by joy. We knew this love of God, and yet upon receiving the gift, are just as surprised again at the abundance of God's grace and his mercy in Jesus. And how can we respond but with joy? You see, all three sorts of people receive the same gift of Jesus Christ, unwrapped, revealed. What's common to all three is an unsatisfied desire, which is more desirable than any other satisfaction. That unsatisfied desire is a quality that we call joy. Joy is not the same as happiness or pleasure. Joy, happiness, and pleasure are all experiences we want to repeat. But that's where their similarities end. Happiness is merely just a positive feeling or an emotional state due to circumstance. Pleasure, on the other hand, is physical or non-physical feeling that brings satisfaction. But joy is altogether different. Joy cannot be gained by your own will. It's not in your power to make yourself joyful. You can please yourself, and you can probably find ways to make yourself happy. But joy, true joy, comes from a deep longing fulfilled. Joy is not dependent on the circumstances of your life. Joy is not simply about being happy. Joy comes from your hope received in the presence of Jesus. This is unique to the Christian life. The firmer one believes and receives Christ, the more one marvels, and the more one is happy. Too often, those who are sad and lonely absent themselves from the church. As their faith then weakens, so do they lose their source of joy and marvel and happiness. If we were to believe with certainty that the child born to the Virgin Mary is our brother, flesh and blood, and that his righteousness is our righteousness, his life our life, as we have heard on these last days about the birth of Christ, we would say, if we were to believe this with all our hearts, we would so marvel and be so overjoyed that we could not think enough about the gift of this infant child. The source of joy is receiving. And so the key to Christian joy is to receive the Holy Gospel and thus have your hopes and dreams fulfilled. This is good news, and it should produce in you such an amazement and that you would cry out, "I am baptized into Christ. There is no doubt that in my Lord Jesus I have overcome death and sin. No other possession, no other treasure of mine makes me happy and amazed as this baptismal inheritance in Jesus." On the day of judgment, Jesus will say that I am his dear brother, and everything that is his is mine. I am Lord, and he is servant, and we shall live with him into eternity. What great good news, a gift. But if we were to try to believe this of ourselves, I don't think we'd ever fall for it. It would seem that death and sin still have the upper hand, the devil is still ruling, and our lives are in the toilet. We'd be frightened and sullen with no amazement and no joy. This is because Christian joy comes not from ourselves, from our own power, but it comes from receiving hope and faith and love in Jesus. We receive the gift of the Christ child, and by faith, he works in us joy. We can't help it. In Jesus, there is every grace and blessing of the Father. How could we be sad or dismayed when the child has defeated everything that gets us down? He says to you, "Have no fear, little flock. For in him you have inherited the kingdom. Eternal life and heaven are yours, gained for you by this precious child's death and resurrection, and given to you as a gift. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. Sing with joy, for your hope is fulfilled in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."